never notice. There are little birds that go into her backyard and eat the sedum. Ah! Oh, nature!
Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I am your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and I do not know a lot about Doctor Who.
And today we are looking at Series 4, Episode 7, The Unicorn and the Wasp.
What is that affect you're putting on even before you said Unicorn and the Wasp?
Well, I don't know if you can see here in this little thumbnail, but this episode takes place several decades ago.
Oh, Charles!
Yes, this episode takes place in the 1920s. And I tell you that because...
Gatsby! What Gatsby?
I tell you that to help you with one of the upcoming prefaces today.
The eyes of Dr. T.J. Eckelberg! They look down on the freeway!
Well, I will also say very quickly, I don't know if you could tell her face here, but this is our another installment of actor that becomes famous first shows up in Doctor Who. The girl you're seeing here in this image is one Felicity Jones.
Oh, cool. I thought, what a beautiful little profile. What a classically attractive woman.
And now you know, you're very right. That is
yes.
One Jyn Erso of Rogue One. And Mrs. Hawking from The Theory of Everything, that is Felicity Jones, future Academy Award nominee, much like future Academy Award nominee Andrew Garfield that we had in The Daleks Take Manhattan. But yes, this is an episode that takes place in the 1920s, and the Cassie Brefassi today requires you to know a little bit about the 1920s, so hopefully you can surmise it from that.
I told you everything I know. Gatsby... Green light.
The only thing you know about the 1920s is the setting of a fictional story.
E.J. Teckelberg.
E.J. Teckelberg?
Yeah.
No, however, it's funny you mentioned books, because the Cassie Brefassi today is this story focuses around, much like when we had the episode with Charles Dickens, this episode features another famous author. Would you care to take a guess who that might be? Or take a Cassie Brefassi as to who that might be? If it gives you a little more help, I will let you know the author is also British.
Okay, so it is not...
It's not F. Scott Fitzgerald, no.
Thank you. You want to know what's been going on in my head for the past 30 seconds? I remembered
Girl
three...
Girl from Ipanema?
No, I remembered three names. And I went, okay, great. I know that the author I've been referring to as three names. But the only three name my brain come up with was M. Night Shyamalan! But that's not right! That is not their name!
Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
Julie Louise Dreyfus.
Edgar Allan Poe. But I just really like that relentlessly my brain
Sarah
went.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, relentless brain went, M. Night Shyamalan. M. Night Shyamalan. M. Night Shyamalan. No! He's Indian and a director!
No, this is an English author.
An English author.
From the 1920s.
I don't. No. Any English authors from the 1920s.
I don't know if it would help you.
Because I need you to remember, I took European history,
mm-hmm.
but then every other like AP class I took was American literature.
Well, let's...
And writing.
Let's maybe help you a little bit more then, just for the sake of not like totally casting you out here. She has written,
J.K. Rowling.
She wrote books that have been turned into movies that you and I have both seen.
J.K. Rowling.
So you're gonna go with J.K. Rowling?
No, I know. It's
it
not.
Is funny you mention that, because the person who wrote this episode also wrote the Shakespeare Code, which is the good old J.K. episode.
Ah, okay.
Fuck his transphobe ass. Not just J.K. Rowling, he is also a transphobe who wrote this episode. So, I mean, the good news is he has since been sort of blacklisted from writing Doctor Who.
Okay, but that doesn't help me for Jane Austen?
Okay, you want to go with Jane Austen?
It's either that or Mary Shelley. Mary Shelley was American.
Mary Shelley was British, But she was not 1920. She was 1800s, I believe.
I think Jane Austen was also, though, like 1900s, 1800s. Oh, yeah, Jane Austen was 1700s. Whoops. Tolkien. Is he British?
Yeah, he's British.
Okay. That feels way more likely.
Okay, so you... Okay.
But less, even still, I'm just kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall.
Okay. Well, maybe I can give you a little more help with the second prophecy here, because the second prophecy, I feel like, is a little bit easier. This episode features a reference, or maybe an allusion might be better to say, to a popular board game. And when I say popular, I don't just mean like, I mean like probably one of the first five board games you might think of.
Chess or backgammon?
I mean, I'm talking about branded board games. I mean, oh. Like, I don't know if giving you examples might.
Yeah. Clue.
You want to go with Clue?
No. Wait, I'm confused by the question.
I mean, Clue would be an answer to the question.
I'm confused by the question, though. Can you please repeat it?
So this episode features an allusion or a reference to a popular board game.
So the game is not physically in.
Yeah, the game's not physically in. It's sort of like when I mentioned claw game the previous episode, and then there was a giant claw. That's sort of what I mean. There's a reference to
it. Okay, so I think I will stick with.
You want to stick with Clue?
I think so, just because I can't think of any other game that would make for an interesting allusion to, and if it is a whodunit sort of situation, which we haven't really seen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're leaning in with whodunits and Clue, do you want to go over your...
No, okay. That still doesn't help, because now the only things I can think of is Jim Curry, and he's not an author. Who is the author that did, like, Murder on the Orient Express?
That would be Agatha Christie.
She British?
Yes, she is.
Okay. So I'm locking in. I'm locking in Agatha Christie and Clue.
All right. So Cassie's prophecy for today is The Unicorn and the Wasp features Agatha Christie and a reference to the board game Clue. And we will find out together as we watch The Unicorn and the Wasp.
That feels like a good answer. Otherwise, it would have been A.A. Milne and Winnie the Pooh.
It would have been F. Scott Fitzgerald in the Monopoly.
Yeah, which, yes, but wrong continent.
Today's episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by sleep deprivation. No, seriously, the days kind of got away from me, and I'm editing this at 3 a.m., and this goes live in like 2 hours. I am currently tasting colors and smelling numbers. If you're curious, 6 smells like mint. Sleep deprivation. It's grossly negligent to my health. Let's all play a game of Clue. Colonel Mustard, I know it's you. And while I can't figure out the room, you killed Mr. Body.
I was trying to figure out the, like, orchestration in that, but I think it's just like a
Yeah, it's just him. It's just them playing xylophone. But that was the Unicorn and the Wasp. That was fun.
Yeah, I got both the questions right.
You did, in fact, get both the Cassie prophecies correct. You know, I don't remember this episode very often. I remember that it's Agatha Christie, but the episode itself always kind of... And it's not the episode's fault. It's just followed by a string of bangers. It suffers from the consequence of being the episode before my favorite episodes for a long time. But otherwise, it's really solid.
It feels a little bit like an appetizer.
Yeah, I mean, especially after the last episode being such a dud.
Yeah, this one I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'm back into it.
It's like, last episode, we're so over. This episode, we're so back!
Yeah. If for no other reason, then there was a lot of really good little bits.
There's a lot of fun little moments. The fact that they, you know, let one of the characters be secretly gay because the 20s. Granted, the writer himself is also gay.
No, he was by himself.
He was by himself,
always
for sure.
By himself, doing nothing but being by himself alone, taking a constitutional behind the house, which does sound like you're choosing to either go in your backyard and pop a squat and shit or fuck. Taking a constitutional in the back of the house.
Which I think he was going to fuck. I think
Could you imagine having like a garden or something that you could just kind of fuck off into and
fuck into?
Fuck in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun to have the doctor do a little murder mystery.
Doctor Do.
Doctor Who done it?
Dr. Scooby Dooby Who?
Because it can only fit in a Doctor Who runtime, it does feel a little rushed right at the end.
A little bit, but...
But, you know, they don't use any information. They don't try and, like, really pull a fast one on you by, like, you know, there's no way you could have figured out any of this information. There is, like, okay, that's kind of weird. I may not be able to figure out, like, exactly what it means. Well, but when she says, like, she was laid up here in with malaria for 6 months, I'm like, malaria doesn't last for 6 months.
It's the coming out, like, right out the gate with the, what was it, Professor Peach?
Yeah, Professor Peach in the library.
Professor Peach in the library getting beaten to death with a lead pipe that you go, okay, we're doing a clue.
Yeah,
we're doing a clue, and you immediately show the killer as this giant wasp. So there's no question as to, oh, who's the killer? It's the, why is there a giant wasp? It's less a whodunit and more a...
Wasp done it. Why done it?
How done it? Oh, what the fuck done it?
There's a lot of little clues that when you look back on it, you can sort of understand them. Like we were saying that there's the room that was out, that was cut off for 6 months, but inside it is a child stuffed animal.
Yeah, a not Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, not Winnie the Pooh. Wow, you really predicted something like accidentally.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you don't mess with my poo.
Sometimes the Cassie Professy works in mysterious ways. I feel like we're gonna have difficulty talking about this because it's kind of hard to talk around a mystery, you know?
Yeah, I do enjoy that the episode opens up with them landing in front of this gathering and Donna getting very excited, running back inside to change, because you know that this was a costume that she thought, just in case, let me pack this, just in case. Wild card threw this item
in. You think she's still using her own clothes and not the clothes
from
the TARDIS?
Oh, absolutely she's using her own clothes.
I do like that she asked the doctor if the look was a flapper or a slapper.
It did like that.
Especially because it also was really just nice that the doctor was like, oh, you look great. Because I feel like the safe choice would have been to make them like, you know, the classic ribbing friends will do. But it was just...
Even still, when your friend is looking good, feeling themselves, it is really crappy to just shit all over them.
Well, I think he could also tell that she's genuinely asking. They're not here for a bit.
Yeah. But then having her proceed to say every 20s word she knows.
Good afternoon, my lady. Topping day. What? Spiffing. Top hell.
The way the doctor just kind of like worms his way in with the psychic paper. It was like, thank you for your invitation. We met at the blah, 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 we met at the such and such and you
at the governor's ball.
Yeah, we met at the governor's ball and you invited us and it's wouldn't miss it for the world. Lovely to have you. And she's like, oh yes, lovely to see you again, doctor. And I'm like, there's only, like, 7 people here. How do you not know who you invited? But that ends up being a plot point.
It's also a very, like, rich white lady thing. Because I see it a lot at work. Where one person clearly knows the other. Mm-hmm. And is very happy to be running into them. Granted, it's in a public space. But nevertheless, it is somebody who clearly knows the other better than they do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the, oh my God, how are you? Oh, what a surprise.
Have
and
I...
you just see the look on the other person's face. It's like, yep, I know exactly who you are. This interaction I can completely accommodate for. Love everything that's going on. I will do the thing, because it happened. It happened just this past weekend at the funeral, where there are plenty of people that I knew, but did not know their names for.
Yeah.
Because that's the same get around of, oh, hi, like, oh, it's so lovely to see you. This is my partner. And then that's when you come in and introduce yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's just...
Or alternatively, you would just text your mom, who is this person?
Yeah, fuck.
I don't know who they are.
Yeah, and then my mom doesn't respond and says, I'll tell you later. Doesn't respond. The next day says, did you figure it out? And me say, no, I didn't. And her say, okay, cool, I'll tell you later. And then didn't. So I don't think my mom actually had the answer.
Oh, that's pretty good. Oh, man, that's funny. I love just, like, that happening every day. It just happens. It's like, oh, did you find out yet? No, who is it? I'll tell you tomorrow.
But that
tomorrow
would,
never comes.
That would happen to me whenever I would go and visit my mom at work, too.
Mm.
Visit as if I wasn't being admitted to the hospital because I'm dangerously ill. I'm visiting her at work.
I'm here to visit my mother. Also, I have appendicitis.
You joke. I did have appendicitis, and those fuckers didn't catch it in two trips to the hospital.
Oof.
Yup. Do you know what they said it was before they actually caught it? They said, oh, it was period cramps. And I went, I'm in the sixth grade. And they went, it must be severe gastroenteritis.
I'm in the sixth grade.
I'm in the sixth grade. But yeah, it's the same dealio. If you don't know people, you just kind of sit around and wait. I try to pick up context clues for how I might know people.
Yeah.
Or see if I can muster up any photos.
Play Wheel of Fortune with their name. You're like, is there a C in it?
Yeah. Or the, how are your kids?
What are their names? And also their last names?
How's
and your
mom?
First name?
How's your pet? What's your job? How do you like your job? Are you still at...
If you were to name yourself, what would you name yourself? Let's say if your mother was to name you, what would she name you?
I know a game. Let's play alternate universe. I'll go first. If we were in an alternate universe, my name would be Sassandra. Now you go. Wow, your name is Hackery. What a fun, cool name. Well, best be going, Zachary. Nice chatting with you, Zachary. Hope we can do this again, Zachary.
It was fun to have the episode lean into a lot of the clue tropes, too. Like, you had your jewel thief, who was she was Lady Redmond, very clearly meant to be, like, Miss Scarlet.
Yeah.
And you had the Reverend, and you had...
The colonel.
Yeah, you had the colonel who was sitting in his wheelchair. Like, so there was very, like, even when they weren't doing Clue, there were still little allusions to it throughout the cast.
Well, yeah, everybody was very, not stereotypical, but it was very, like, each person is easy to identify because you're fitting a Clue-like trope.
Yeah, and you get some fun with that, too, because after the murder happens and the doctor starts asking them, where were you at 4:15 or whatever it was, they all immediately start lying. In fact, the only one that's not lying is the Reverend.
Mm-hmm.
Which turns out he was the one who did it, which is kind of an interesting way to get that clue, is that everyone else was lying about what they were doing, except for the one person who told the truth was the one person who was
mm-hmm.
really lying. But I really like that I was freshening up in the bathroom and she whips out a gun. Or I think the one that really got you was I was reading an old war story and he's looking at
looking at old war memorabilia. Opens it up to a centerfold, yeah. Basically,
and starts remembering like an old can show that he saw when he was in the war.
Yeah, relatable. I forget that this is the 20s, so that would have been the First World War.
That wouldn't have even been that. I think he said the War of Maluka. Because World War I would have been happening at that time, I think. Like, it would have been actively going on.
Hmm. Well, tells you how much I know.
Yeah. he told you how much you paid attention to AP European history.
To be fair, European history goes back far.
Yeah.
So we didn't even really broach modern, postmodern European history. Like, I think the farthest that we got up to was, by the time that the test rolled around, we had just wrapped up the French Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
So, 1600s?
French Revolution would have been 1800s.
This was like 13 years ago.
Did you talk about the clockwork robots that were there?
No, we did not get to the clockwork robots.
Oh man, it feels like your education's really lacking then.
Mm-hmm. I do like the doctor like fanning over Agatha Christie.
And they both were.
And then, but his specific of like, oh, you got me a good couple times. Well, not a couple times. A good once. You got me a good once.
I wonder what the once was.
I know. I was thinking about that. Because I was picking up. And you know, it's just kind of a trope. But the doctor was giving Benoit Blanc.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's sort
which of... I also know is based off of
Poirot, so
yeah,
they're both getting inspiration from the same thing. I like that he introduces himself as we met at the governor's ball or whatever it was at the beginning, but then he says, I'm from Scotland Yard, and no one questions it. There's something about that that feels very like not even
and his plucky female assistant,
yeah, and his, this is the young woman that follows me around. I do like that because they're both fanning over Agatha Christie, they keep accidentally dropping information too early.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's only written 6 books. She hasn't written Murder on the Orient Express yet. So they just keep accidentally mentioning things that she has not done yet.
Next thing you know, you'll be telling me it's like Murder on the Orient Express, and they all did it.
Murder on the Orient Express?
Oh, yeah. One of your best.
But not yet.
I was curious, though. Is all of that true, though, that she...
Yes, she really did. Her husband really was cheating on her. She really did go missing for 10 days and did not have memory of what happened.
Wow.
Or if she did have memory, she did not say.
Real life mystery novel.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that neat?
That is fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
well, we know sucks. What happened now. Now we know it was because of a giant wasp.
Yeah.
A giant wasp that worshipped God and worked in the church.
Clearly, and was born because of a weekend because, in India?
Because he looked like a hot guy in India. Well, only from one angle. He only looked like a hot guy from one angle.
Yeah, only looked like a hot guy. Weirdly enough, straight on, any side angle was a little...
It was unflattering for him, yeah.
Not the best of angles, but hey, you know what? Sometimes...
Yeah, you got slim pickings in the 1880s.
Yeah. In India. Not too many white guys in India.
Yeah, not when you're stiff upper lip British type. There was also the just that moment that made both of us giggle that he had sparkling cyanide when you want to kill someone but you're fancy about it.
Yeah. You're just a little...
Would you like your cyanide still or sparkling?
flat, please. no, but something that I was trying to communicate to you during the episode, and I don't think you were catching on. So the doctor says that he was on the hunt for Charlemagne after he was taken by an insane computer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trudging through the forest with a bow and arrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how he looks at the end of Blink, though, when he's trudging through London.
That could be, but Charlemagne was... I mean, she even says that Charlemagne was centuries ago.
Well,
and not,
yes,
and...
but also taken by an insane computer.
Yeah, who knows?
We're dealing with wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey bullshit.
Yeah, hard to say. Because I remember, though, that they were going after some kind of egg. I don't know, maybe it's all connected.
It was one of those things where I went, it's odd that they're choosing to show the doctor yet again with a bow and arrow.
Yeah, I mean, they also may have just had that prop on board, and they were like, put it on him again!
Yeah. I just have now made it a goal to catch things that you miss.
Yeah, I mean, it's always neat when you do.
Oh, but after he has been poisoned with the sparkling cyanide,
he needs to reverse the enzymes.
On an immediate, like, keto, low, or, like, high-sodium diet.
Having to play charades with Donna.
Yeah.
where he's like, I need protein. Give me protein. They shove some walnuts in his mouth.
The walnuts come up again. If they come up a third time, Zach, I'm going to freak out.
they summon Walnut, the evil gremlin, much like if you say Beetlejuice or Bloody Mary.
Ugh. I hate walnuts, too. Anyways.
I do like that.
Walnuts is protein. Salt bag is too much salt. Anchovies, though, good just salt. Right.
Yeah, I like that because...
Which is also protein, too, so I like that
because
out.
He has to play charades because his mouth is full of walnuts, so he's playing just a really rough game of Chubby Bunny.
With the only player being Donna and Agatha Christie, who's actually looking around trying to find solutions.
And then he's like, I need a shock. And Donna's like, I got something shocking for you. Which feels like a you bit.
Yes, I wouldn't go in for a kiss, though. I would just whip out my boobies.
I think it would depend on the person. I know some friends that if you were like, they need a shock, you're like, all right, if you insist.
That or I'd go in for a slap. Like yeah. A really, like, smack a bitch sort of.
And then after he gets the cyanide out of him, he like belts it out like a cloud of smoke, a cloud of very real smoke, definitely real and not at all CGI.
You know how common it is to burp and then have gray smoke come out of your mouth like you're a human incense holder?
God, walnut and anchovy incense.
We just ate dinner, Zach. Please. Don't bring up barf.
Donna is wandering around the house and she goes into that little secret squirreled away room and meets the giant wasp. But Agatha Christie does not understand what she means by giant wasp until she points out that there's like a 2 foot long stinger sticking
Thank
out
God
of the door.
The wasp stung through the door, though. Could you imagine then having to? That's more a writing credit. I'm really glad that they didn't make it like, oh no, everybody's gaslighting Donna now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice touch for sure. I really like this story. Feels very well thought out.
Yes. Like, I mean, it has to because
it's a murder mystery.
Yeah. It's a murder mystery in 45 minutes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure it could have benefited from being a little bit longer. You could have done more with the characters because there are a lot of characters that we just kind of that were the only real bit of personality we get from them is their little lie about what they were doing at 4:15.
Which that's fine, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, it works for the time constraint at the very least, because then we get a fun little twist at the end where they're doing the breakdown of who done it at the fireplace. And everyone keeps they keep doing a bit where they're like, and I'm going to talk to you. And by you, I mean you. Agatha Christie keeps looking at Lady Edison, but then she like turns to someone else. One of my favorites being when she turns to Lady Edison's husband and he's like, okay, I admit it. And he realizes he could stand up out of the wheelchair.
He doesn't realize he's been lying
That's what I mean. Everyone else realizes he can stand up out of the wheelchair. And she's like, he's like, but I didn't kill anyone. He's like, I know I was going to say you're totally innocent. Which also is like, that's the only part where I'm like, that I don't know why that would even happen. Why would you bring that up then if he's totally innocent? Unless and Agatha Christie's just being like a dramatic bitch about everything.
Well, I think at this point the colonel is feeling guilty about being in his wheelchair all this time. That's just something he wanted to get off his chest.
Yeah, I wanted to express that he very much loves his wife and does not want her to leave, and therefore he has to act like he can't use his lower half. And then we get the story of what happened with Lady Edison. She didn't come down with malaria. She actually found someone that she was in love with, and who she turned out to be in love with was a giant wasp alien.
Who can transform into a wasp via beautiful purple and pink smoke?
Via some real Las Vegas magician energy.
It was very I Dream of Jeannie. Like, in the best way.
Yeah, it was a surprisingly good effect. Like, I don't know if there's really any physical change that happens to the person, or if it's just that
the smoke clouds the person turning, or person into wasp. But the smoke itself, I think, was done very similar to how they would do it in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, it's a very, I mean, whoever came up with that visual effect did a very good job. They did a very, like, it's not, it's clearly, like, CG. There's no surprise that it's CG.
And, yeah, it's, the smoke itself isn't generated, though. I do think that that's real.
I would assume it's a hybrid. They probably have some real smoke on set. Well,
because there's also light that emanates from it, too.
Yeah, I think that's what I think. I think they're merging them. I think they have real smoke, and then they have CG smoke that goes over it. And then when they need the CG element of the wasp to come in, that's why they use both. But I think I would assume the lighting and the smoke itself are both practical. But it's a really well-done effect.
It's also the fact that it's, like, a purple and pink.
Yeah, it's a unique color.
I love purple and pink.
There's also no, like, gross sound effects that go with it. Like, sometimes it's cool to have a little, like, kind of sound effect. But in this one, you just get music or a music sting, or you get nothing at all. It's just kind of it's a nice little touch.
Yeah, there's no other sound indicators until we get back to the Reverend.
Yeah, and then the Reverend starts telling his story, and the Doctor accuses him of being the wasp.
It isn't until the Reverend is having to face the two most jovial church thieves I've ever seen.
He's like, I'm taking stuff from the church. What's that, Reverend? You're here? Eat my shorts. And they just keep stuffing stuff into their bags.
You better stop
taking things from my diocese,
Zachary.
This is a house of God.
I am getting gangry.
It's almost like he's doing a werewasp. You know what I mean?
A werewasp stutter.
Yeah, it's very cartoony, but in a way that, like, it's kind of endearing.
Yeah, because he also does this. The actor makes a choice to, like, do quick head whips as well.
Yeah,
which is very characteristic of, like, werewolf change or, like, transformation, is that, like, erratic movement that
I mean it's also sort of the erratic movement of a wasp, like the way that they all kind of, like, twitch and, like, move
fucking
about.
Hate wasps.
Still do, even especially ones that worship Jesus. That feels unnatural. I also really like the subplot they have going on, that where Felicity Jones isn't really Lady Redmond, this Miss Scarlet type. She's the unicorn.
Yeah, she left. Or the real Lady Redmond never left London.
Yeah, like, which also makes sense. Like, why would you go to a party where you don't know anybody? Like, why would you, like, oh, I could drive all the way out to the country and hang out with a bunch of other rich snobs I don't know. Or I could stay home. Meanwhile,
and drink tea and read my book.
Read my wonderful Agatha Christie novels.
Ding. Yeah, that was a nice little touch. I don't like that they brought up once that it was, oh, the unicorn. And I understand why they included it in the title, because that is a point of intrigue.
Yeah, well, it's also, it means that there is someone that you can, there. It gives you an idea of, like, ooh, there could be this person who's doing it. Meanwhile, it's pretty transparently the wasp.
My thought was that the unicorn was going to be more in reference to, like, a familial crest.
Mm.
Something like that, just because this is England we're talking about. Lots of times there are those types of family crests that do have, like, mythical creatures mm-hmm. included in them. Kind of glad I was wrong.
I also like that because it's red. It was Lady Redmond. She was literally a red herring.
Yes.
Well, I guess she wasn't literally a herring, but she was red. She was the red herring.
Oh, yeah.
The part where it started losing me was where it was near the end, when it started explaining, like, oh, because your mind linked with the Firestone, but because your mother was wearing it while reading Agatha Christie, the Agatha Christie novels have infected your mind.
Which, like, I didn't hate that part. I was like, this is the kind of stupid I expect. It was the fact that then they were linked to Agatha Christie, the human person.
Yeah, and you're like, hang on. She wasn't even here. What do you mean?
Yeah, that is the only part where it really...
It feels like a stretch.
This is a bit of a stretch in a way that I can't get behind and say, yep.
It feels like the writer forgot about the amnesia part until the end of the script, and they went, oh, fuck, I gotta scramble that in here right now.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Gareth Roberts, transphobe. Who gives a fuck? Like, I'd give a fuck if he was upset. Good. He could be upset.
Yeah.
You know, I'm almost upset to admit it because I know how much he sucks, but this is a pretty good episode.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
It was a real thinker, this one.
It's a fun setting. There's some fun characters. They do a lot of interesting camera work with it for one. They don't often get a chance to do that.
Yeah, the lack of Dutch angles.
Yeah, they weren't Dutch angles, but there were a lot of, like, dramatic zooms.
Or very anime.
Or they used some, like, wide-angle lenses for, like, when they're pointing at people. Like, it was you! They also do a rack focus when Lady Edison realizes that the Reverend is her son. Okay, you know, I'll give it this. It felt like an Agatha Christie story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was very well done in that regard.
The only things that were only mildly triggering were the gargoyle falling from the seat roof.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that bitch is a weeping angel.
That moved. Well, now it's a broken angel. It
moved on its own accord. And then the queer. The one guy getting stabbed in the back and then drowning in his own soup. Could you imagine?
Like he survived the stabbing. Yeah,
surviving the stabbing. Because there are weird things like that where it's like you can be stabbed in such a way where it just like only grazes internal organs and like you're actually okay. But then falling over like that. And then choking and gagging on your soup. And because the lights are freaking out and everybody's screaming and running around, like, nobody can save you.
You know what he could have used? He could have used one of those little face things the Hath had and just enjoyed a soup through one of those.
You need to stop trying to rope in previous episodes into this. Stop trying to make it happen. It's not going to happen.
One really nice thing is that because Agatha Christie went missing for 10 days... their way of hand-waving that is that the doctor just took her and brought her back 10 days later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
which then justified, like, why she was still wearing her dress from the party.
Yeah.
Or from the dinner, rather.
Which I don't think that happened in real life. I would assume that she changed clothes.
Probably.
But
justifies why her car was by the lake.
Mm-hmm. And then...
oh, yeah, and the fucking wasp... choosing to save one more life. As Agatha Christie is dying on the banks because
of telepathic mind link via necklace.
The necklace is a communicator and...
yeah, that part falls apart. Well, what's fun, though, is at the very end of the episode... when the doctor's like, oh, I'm going to show you that. I think Agatha Christie never really forgot all of it. And it, like, he pulls out a trunk for his sea things. So he's got like a piece of a Cyberman. He's got the orb that he's holding, that the Carrionites are in from the Shakespeare Code. And then I don't know if you caught it, but he also pulls out a bust of Caecilius from the fires of Pompeii.
I did catch that.
So those are fun little things for Christie, Agatha. And I'm like, you just have the one book? I guess that's the one that got him.
Well, my thought is too, he whipped out that one because that had more to do with the adventure that he and Donna just went that on. Has
the big fucking wasp on the cover of it, yeah.
Yeah.
I do like, it's kind of funny that she was like, printed in the year 5 billion. And I'm like, they haven't figured out a better service than paper in a year of 5 billion?
5 billion is when the Earth explodes! We saw it happen! Good God, man!
Maybe that's when he picked up the book. Maybe he got the book from someone on that ship.
Maybe. Overall, I liked it. I can't say that it's a new favorite.
Yeah, but it's a good time. It's a nice palate cleanser after the last one, if nothing else.
It's also a very nice, like, pocket edition of Agatha Christie novels.
Yeah.
It's, just as a whole,
What's the whistle?
Yeah. Well, especially since, like, Knives Out are some of our favorites, and...
we also enjoy the...
yeah.
The Kenneth Branagh movies that have come out for him.
Oh, my God.
You know, and while I'm glad we enjoyed this, this is probably a shorter episode just looking at the runtime here, but, you know, it's a pretty straightforward episode. It's kind of... the most of what you're going to talk about is, was the mystery satisfying? And I think the mystery was. The mystery, like,
yeah,
none of it felt like that's a stretch or that's unearned. Like, it used both, like, the typical Agatha Christie format and that peppering of Doctor Who with the alien wasp well.
And as far as everyone's looks,
yeah, it was a well good costumes, a great set.
Because the only beef that I would have is that, like, a lot of times flappers would not wear the really sparkly, like, highly detailed outfits.
Mm-hmm.
That was very popular to do in costumes because it's prettier to look at, but beading like that would have not been common.
Yeah.
However, this is a TV show. It gets the point across, and I'm happy that nobody was wearing, like, the age-old flapper dress.
I mean, even then, I don't know if the age-old flapper dress, quote-unquote, is the same thing in England.
True.
Yeah, it might just be different.
But
there.
Nobody had a silly little feather cloche in their hair, and there were a lot of things that are easy traps to fall into when doing 20s costumes, and I'm glad that this didn't do any of that. None of the costuming was, like, outstanding.
Yeah, but it worked.
It, like, served its purpose. It wasn't distracting, which, yeah, it was sometimes we've learned it from the previous episode. Sometimes you need things that are not distracting.
Yeah. Sometimes less is more.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, I thought this was good. I'm glad we got there. I am very glad at what we're getting to next. Next is two of my favorite episodes of the whole show, and I'm really hoping you're going to like them too, but because I've been saying that, I'm sure you're going to find a way to hate it.
Oh, no, Zach. I would never do that. How dare you think so little of me? Oh, Zachary, I'm almost disappointed in you.
Well, next up, we get to Silence of the Library and Forest of the Dead, and we will watch them together on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed?
Good morning, in a case I don't see you later. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night. I did it again!
Is this how you're going to end every episode now?
I think so.
Hey, you, come here. Yeah, you with the face, come here. Can you do me a favor? Subscribe to this podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Not just like where you're listening to right now, but if you listen here and you listen in some other place, do both of them. We're on both of them, I promise. It'll be really helpful for us with the algorithms. And giving us a like, or 5 stars, or even a nice review, that'll also help. So could you pretty please do that too? And this isn't part of the favor, but if you want to, you could follow us on Twitter, Blue Sky, Threads, and Instagram at WIMDPod. That's WIMDPOD. I know I don't sound like it, because I am very, very sleepy, but I'm real excited about next week, because next week is my favorite 10th Doctor story. So one last favor, be sure to be here next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Who's Days, but next Tuesday specifically is my Who's Day. See you then!